just so everybody gets to know each other. So we'll talk format when we get it, when we get all that solved. So why don't we just do a real quick around the room, who we are, what you're, you know, what you're looking for out of the weekend, other than the show, right? Because we have like 8 million objectives for that thing. what you need over the next couple of days, and because I think Robert and, you know, a bunch of people don't know a bunch of people. And like I said, the happy problem is we've got a bunch of new guys in the group that weren't able to make it to this meeting because of the timing. Okay. That work? You good? Okay, good. And Larry's really good, by the way. He's going to do photos and autographs and stuff. So Embosser's going to do the photos for you guys, gratis. But, you know, if you have cameras and stuff like that, you can take a shot with him. He's really good. Pretty excited.
And he's going to be at the...
He's going to do an hour with us on Saturday. And then during the lunch break, he's going to do autographs and photos and stuff. So.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay, so why don't we just kind of start here and just go around the room and do the little, you know, who we are, where you're from, that sort of deal. What does the school kind of look like? But the big thing is, what are the big objectives for the next couple of days, right? And then, you know, the big ahas, maybe, you know, we'll save the big ahas for later, and then we'll talk about the big problems, you know? So, Robert, why don't you start us off?
Robert Blum. I'm from Fishkill, New York, which is about an hour north of Manhattan. School is 3,000 square feet. We've been in business 12 years per se, but my wife and I have only owned the school for about a year and a half.
You're trying to rescue it from
my father.
Yeah.
It's okay. He knows it, so it's fine. my father ran the school into the ground the old way, to about somewhere between 60 and 70 students. I'll be honest, I don't even remember the number when we took the school over. And, you know, since then we've gone from about $5,000 a month in tuition intake to we're at 18 now and 142 students, so it's on the right track. You know, it's getting there. The biggest thing for us this weekend, you know, close rates are good. Enrollments haven't been too bad, but bringing the people into the school, marketing aspects for us is going to be a big thing this weekend. You know, really just what's working and what isn't. We sank a lot of money into print that didn't come back, like pretty much everybody has lately. You know, we've really changed over now, like Toby was saying, to a lot of grassroots stuff, but I'm looking for some different things and hoping to get some different ideas from you guys and see what you guys are doing.
Good. Yeah, and Robert's here, by the way, kind of vetting us, you know, for today. Robert is one of the guys in the People Former group who, like, actually, like, went and did a bunch of stuff. No, I'm serious. I'm not saying anything you don't know. You know, the big thing, James had a great quote on this. I can't remember where the hell I was listening to it, but you know, the big thing is you got to get out of your own way mostly. You know, mostly the big difference between, you know, 15,000 and 50,000 is like the guy, the owner, you know, getting out of his own way and stuff, and you know, Robert got out of his way. So that's what that's all about. Okay, good. Charles, why don't you just continue?
Charles Dudley, San Antonio, Texas. My school is about 6,000 square feet, a 2,000 square foot training floor area. We got room for after school and so forth. We hit our goal of hitting 200 students. It was 154. We're doing about 40,000 a month, and I do almost
2% attrition rate or something like that.
Yeah. We do almost no outside marketing whatsoever. And matter of fact, I was telling the guys earlier that, you know, it wasn't until October, November, we didn't have a sign up front. Yeah. But we have a sign. Actually, it's a few students in October. But everything is really strong in marketing. I want to start doing more stuff with the internet and external marketing, because I feel that we've got the systems in place inside the school. The culture of the school sets it up for raising that ceiling. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, good, good. Internet, good.
Okay. Security password.
I do. I was going to tell you. I was just going to mention that too. It's ABC. It's one. Yeah. It's like 1 2 3 4 5 6, A B C. D or ABCDE, one or the other. True. But I know it's 1 through 6.
It's got to be 13
digits.
It's
not E then.
I'm not sure.
It's D.
D? A, okay. I'm going to write that down. Good. And why don't you tell us a little bit about both schools, just quickly?
Our school?
Yeah.
I'm Sean Smith.
It's Grandmaster Smith's son, by the way. He's here kind of doing some stuff with us over the weekend, and he's got some things to contribute, so I thought it'd be useful to, you know.
School's in Sterling, Virginia, right outside of D.C., about 20 minutes outside of D.C. Our school's about 4,000 square feet. And what I'm really looking for is more marketing information, external marketing. We have a lot of the same systems set up that do pretty well with referrals and that sort of thing. But we want to get a little bit more information on the external marketing. Right now our active count's about 230. We'll try to bring that up to about at least 300. So that's what our goals are. And just find out more information about the marketing stuff.
Sean's a really good, like, over the weekend, you guys get a chance to know him, but he's a really good example of, unfortunately, he's, you know, related to him, but he's a really good example of a staff member that treats it like his business. You know what I'm saying? So he'll be really useful in the staff training stuff over the weekend and stuff like that. So
that'll
be interesting.
Last month it was a little slower, about 30.
It's a half million dollars. Eric, why don't you maybe?
Eric Sparge. Our school is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this year we are down from last year. We had hovered around between 350 to 400 in our martial arts and fitness program. Now we're at about 300 in the martial arts and less than 50 in the fitness program. So the fitness program really took a hit with the economy. It's just hard to retain people. Our martial arts programs, our retention is better than it's ever been.
It's interesting.
What I'm really looking to do is, we've never had to go out and do a lot of community stuff for boys through marketing.
Yeah.
Had tons of leads. But we're still getting some of our advertising. We're primarily an adult school. We do it for about two-thirds adults, one-third kids. We're still getting adult response for, like, stress reduction, that kind of thing. The economy might be a good thing for that for us, I guess. But we really need to do a better job of getting out into the schools and the community. So I'm looking for that. And also, I want to start trying to get out into corporations and businesses with our adult programs. So those are kind of the areas I'm looking to head towards this year.
Okay. Well, I can definitely, the school thing, we can talk a lot about that, you know, this weekend. It's a little bit of a... I'm interested to see how he does when we get on stage. But Peyton's going to be here this weekend. Peyton Quinn. And Peyton is actually really sophisticated with this thing. He really is. When he first launched it, I think they made some strategic errors, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, his deal, that REMCAT thing he does, you know, it's like adrenal stress training. He takes you up in the mountains out here, and they, like, yell at you and, you know, get you excited and do the inverted U hypothesis, Hicks Law stuff, right? And the wacky part is that it, when you see it, it's wacky, right? But his message is really what you're talking about, the corporate message. His message is, bring your corporate team in that doesn't get along right now and put them through this experience, and they bond. You know what I mean? They have, like, this breakthrough experience, kind of like Anthony Robbins stuff. So that might be interesting for us to talk to Peyton about, but you know, you just got to get past the initial, like, you know, him being kind of weird deal, you know? But we'll see. John, what's all about me?
I'm Jonathan Metcalf. I run a school in Northern Connecticut in the town of Enfield. It's about 5,000 square feet. It's sort of been around 300 students for a long, long time. Right now we're actually about 280. Girls on average mid-40s on a monthly basis. And what I really want to do is get my sales process home, my marketing process is
conversion to enrollment or conversion after enrollment?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks for the help, John. Okay, good enough. James? Everybody knows James. Everybody knows James, yeah.
Indianapolis. Been with Pastor Oliver for about 6 years now. I don't know much, but I know a little bit more than when I first started with him. And we've got a school about 5,000 square feet in a crappy area of town. Literally right on the border of poverty. negotiations with a really nice location. It was a building that had a fire, and so the guy, like, it's been empty for a long time. It's 8,500 square feet, high ceilings, no holes, beautiful. So I'm going to, like, steal that for less than what I'm paying for what I've got now. And I think that's gonna,
are you going to buy or are you going to rent?
No, I'm not going to buy. It's not for sale. 100%. It's just going to rent it. So that's on my
list. Is it standalone or is it?
No, it's in the shopping plaza.
Okay.
It's a really nice shopping plaza. So that's on my to-do list. But the thing that I want to get this weekend is I'd really like, if anybody knows how to do Google AdWords, to get some results.
I'm
so sick and tired of wasting money on it because I don't know what I'm doing with it.
And Elsa will be here this weekend too.
You will? Elsa, yeah. I sent her an email that she
we spent.
Spent a lot of time with Jason Yee at Extreme Success Academy. And he pointed us in the right direction. I get so much hits off of my Google AdWords right now, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's five cities around us. Like, it's hard to try to explain. It's a really small area. So, Fishkill, Poughkeepsie, Wappingers, Beacon, Cold Spring, it's all, they all butt up against each other. I'm right dead smack in the middle of them all. So we made sure that the AdWords hit everything. So it's...
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, look up this weekend. Yeah,
absolutely.
A couple things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's ugly. It's ugly. Google's like,
But it depends on where you are too. Like, I mean, a Google AdWords hit for me is 30 cents. For some guys it's $5.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, spyfood.com. You can mine and find out what everybody else is paying for their pickbook.
Spyfood.
Yeah, spyfood.com. You can do, like, it's not that applicable to martial arts schools. I mean, it is a little bit if you've got a bunch of competitors in the marketplace buying paperclip.
I got one guy that seems to be always on top of mine. He's not, I mean, for instance, like I went to his MySpace page and it says, they do the little profiles. It says books, and he said only with pictures. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, done.
I didn't read anything.
Yeah, done.
And I know he's getting up there on that for listings.
Just bid more, yeah. But if you go to SpyFood and put in their URL, it'll mine it'll scrape their pay-per-click budget, and it'll tell you how much they're paying per click, how much they pay a day, how much they bid per day, all that sort of stuff. So you can either outbid them or not, or just do different words. It'll tell you also what words they're bidding on. So,
well, this guy might be the guy who's been clicking on my ad to run my bill up too. So.
Yeah. Well, you only get one, and then it cookies you. So after you click once, it doesn't charge you the second time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Well.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I thought about doing it back to him. I was like, nah, I'm not going to play that game.
Yeah. And once you click your own.
I did it once to a look, but I thought, oh, I should do it.
I don't think so.
Bad karma.
I don't believe that to be true.
See what I.
Much sense is just pay half as much and be number two.
It could be, yeah. I don't think I would know that only because, to be honest, I'm sure probably everybody in this room at least, but there just isn't that many people buying pay per click in martial arts school owners. You know what I mean? There just aren't that many. So I mean, there's probably, if there's one guy in your area or two guys in your area, you're probably the exception rather than the rule. You know?
Right.
The only reason I know honestly is because of all the NAMA stuff. You know, I mean, we're doing, like, no pay-per-click, I think, right now for the schools, you know. But, no, that's not true. We are. We're here, and a couple other areas where we have a little cluster, we are. Because it's geographically targeted, you know. But I'll tell you what's really cool, and it's just geeky stuff, right? But I switched all my email over to Gmail, and because my Outlook crashed, and it took my whole hard drive with it, and, you know, I just said, screw it. But I'll tell you what's interesting on Gmail is it's ad-supported, right? So every time you click an email, it shows you the ad, who's buying pay-per-click with the keywords that are in the email. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
So yeah. If I'm looking at an email and the subject of the email is about martial arts schools, then you're seeing everybody who's buying pay-per-click from martial arts schools that meet that criteria?
Yeah.
But then, right. Hey, Mesh Lewis.
Good morning.
We got it. Thank you, sir. But then,
good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mesh Lewis.
Oh, dear. But it's interesting to see who's buying pay-per-click in different categories. And it doesn't take extra work to go search for it. It just kind of comes up for you, you know?
That's weird.
It's just a geeky deal, man. What, Gmail?
No, who comes up.
Yeah.
Like, I come up in markets that I shouldn't come up in. And
see, that's what he's talking about. You have to craft your exclusion words. The exclusion words are words that you don't want to bid on.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, well, here's a perfect example. And Chris Pizzo, you guys know Chris, right? He's not going to be here this weekend, but anytime you get a chance to spend any time with Chris, if it has anything to do with the internet, right, he is, like, the sharpest guy I think I know on that deal. But Chris's deal was he had like a $5,000 pay-per-click bill 1 week, right? And he was like, you know, it just seemed a little high. And then like the next week it was like $10,000, right? I was like, what the hell? Anyway, and here what was happening was when you bid on martial arts terms, phrases, what most people search for is martial arts equipment, right? Globally, like the highest keyword, you know, most people are searching for martial arts equipment, you know. So if you're just searching, if you're just putting in martial arts, then you're getting everybody who's like trying to find Century. That doesn't do you any good anyway, right? So if you exclude the word equipment, then you don't come up under those searches for people who put in like martial arts equipment or sparring gear and stuff like that, right? So that was his big aha on that deal. Was here he was trying to compete with Century by pay-per-click or compete with Asian World. It's not that you're competing for the clicks, it's that you're buying irrelevant search phrases, search terms. You're coming up when you shouldn't be coming up. You know what I mean?
I'm coming up in areas where I shouldn't come up.
Like geographic?
Yeah.
We should take a look at it because you can geographically target that.
What I've always wondered is when you type in. What I've always wondered is when you type in, like, you know, city and martial arts, so you get your pay-per-click on the one side, but then you get the map. Mm-hmm. How do you get in there?
It's free.
Oh, yeah. That's
you guys are all on that, right? See, you guys all have that, right?
Yeah. Now, on there, if you click on more choices on there, how do you get in the top?
Right? On the break, let's talk about reviews. Yeah. It helps. Reviews help. Yeah.
Somebody's got to show me how that works.
Yeah. Let me jot that down.
So anybody would like Google that city or martial arts, I wouldn't pop up. Oh, I got a new web guy. Oh, that's easy. I stand up. I'm up on that map.
Yeah, it's free, too.
I don't know how I did it.
Yeah, it's free. Well, if it's worth the time, we'll go over that this weekend for the next couple of days because it's real simple. You know, it's free.
Google Maps or something.
Yeah,
it's Google Local. It's Google Local, and then you do the business submission on the Google Local. Yeah.
20 seconds.
What's cool is you can put like your home address in, and you can put like the school address, and then you can put like PO box, and then you can put like like four of them for a while. But just playing with you. Okay. Well, yeah. If it's worth spending time on it, we will. Good. And then Joe. Yeah.
Joe. Joe from Westminster, Maryland / Hampstead, Maryland. Which is just north of Baltimore. I've been in business for approaching 18 years. I have a school. Right now, current enrollment is 235 with a strong dip from the fourth quarter. We were actually headed towards 260 in September. And I had two bad things. Nobody calling and coming in, and then people leaving because of economic reasons or whatever it was. But January and February have turned it around, but we dipped really bad. And my normal average is around $40,000 a month. And I'm looking for this weekend to strengthen internal marketing and also a little bit more grassroots stuff.
I'm sorry, Mr. Man, I'm terrible.
Joe Jeruki.
Joe Jeruki. Let's play with me.
B-O-R-U-C-K-I. I laugh because every
C-K?
Time I say my name.
C-K-I?
C-K-I.
Did we spell it wrong on the magazine?
You could just... Probably.
We probably butchered it, man. I thought it was K-I. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in that article?
Yeah.
No, it was...
Did we get it right? Okay. Okay.
You know, it's funny.
I probably gave it to them wrong, but...
Robert, right?
Yep.
We talked about getting out of your own way. That was my problem. I've been a coaching member probably about the same time as James.
Well, you know, there was one thing I said when we joined Peak Performers, and, you know, my wife and I discussed it, because, you know, for us, where we were at, the investment at the time was a tremendous amount of money. You know, now it's come back tenfold, you know, at least, if not more. But it was the thing that I told her was, if we're going to do this, we're all in. I mean, we did that first Peak Performers meeting with you guys, what was it?
A year ago.
Yeah, it was probably the June one, right? And Toby went over, you know, enrollment systems and upgrade processes and, you know, rotating curriculum and all that stuff. And we went back to the school. I took 30 days to sort it all out. We had a student meeting with all of our parents, and we changed everything from soup to nuts, everything at one time. And, you know, we've got our leadership program up and running, and I mean, I owe a lot to Toby and to, you know, NAPMA for what they've done for us, because in the last 4 months, I've done 16 $6,000 contracts for leadership programs. So for us, I mean, that's...
You got to add a one in front of it, but that's next.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I agree.
You just got to do it. I mean, really, yep. it is. I mean, we're going over PowerPoints for the weekend, and the big thing, you know, hopefully that... Well, we talked about it in December, or November, December, I can't remember, the last one. And that was a big deal was, you know, there were three guys in the room that are like really sharp human beings, right? They're like really sharp people. And we talked about where they were the meeting before to the meeting now, and it's like the same. And the question was, well, you know, had you done the three things that we said you should do between now and the next time? And the answer is no. And I'm like, okay, here's what we need to be deciding right now, right? What are we really trying to accomplish? Okay, good. So we've got four pretty big bullet points here, and I've got about five or six things I wanted to share over the weekend, and maybe this is the first one. Since we're talking about enrollment systems, we talked about this on the phone one day, and I went through and tweaked some things and got some new content and wrote a new sales letter. And here's how I came to this. Basically, and we're going to talk about this at the show, but I'll give you guys the heads up on it now. So we're talking about enrollments, which basically is anything from generating the lead to converting the lead to once the lead is like now an intro to converting him to a student, right? So anything that's kind of in that matrix is what the next couple days is all about, right? So this is one of the things that was a big aha for me, and it's one of the things that we're getting better and better at NAPMA, because now I have like a little bit more time to focus on it, et cetera, right? But here's the deal. Market to message matches everything, right? So, Dan does it like this. I'm sure you guys have seen this. But Dan does the triangle, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Dan does this deal. He does the right market, the right message, the right media. Right. So it's like this matrix of marketing that you know, if you have the right message and it's going to the wrong market, that doesn't do any good. Obviously, if you're using a media that market is responsive to, that doesn't do you any good. Right? So to make a long story short, on all the lead generation stuff that we're doing right now, we're giving them an opportunity to identify themselves to us in more robust terms than we have in the past, right? So, like, for let's just talk websites because it's a good example. Used to be the most information we could drag out of somebody on a website is their email address. First name and email address, right? Reliably. You know, I mean, obviously you can do whatever you want, you know, but reliably it used to be you'd have a big headline and a big promise. You know, maybe the free report or whatever it is, something of value. And you could extort them, basically. You could bribe them for first name and email. With this video squeeze system online, we're seeing that having sort of a human face in front of you, we have a much higher success rate at extracting more information than we did with text only. Does that make sense? And that's like, I've got really good numbers on that now. I mean, I've got like... I don't know how many websites we have right now between them and Mala Karate, but I know on the NAPMA side universally, all these video squeeze pages are converting much better than the text-only ones ever did, and we're getting more data for it, right? So the video, I think there's magic in that. So this is kind of a long story to get to where I'm going, but segmenting your list on all this lead generation stuff has been a really big aha for us, right? A really big deal for us. For the NAPMA audience, the three big segmentations that I'm interested in mostly is, am I a part-time school owner, am I a full-time school owner, or am I like a multi-school owner, right? Because that tells me at NAPMA how we should talk to you, right? If I'm a part-time school owner, then me talking to you about how to run, you know, multiple schools at, you know, $500,000-$600,000 a year each isn't in your universe of thinking it's possible. You know what I'm saying? So those messages are wasted on you. So in the martial arts school marketing arena, if you're a parent who's looking for self-confidence improvement in their son or daughter, then me talking to you about focus probably isn't relevant to you, You know what I'm saying? So anyway, make a long story short, which will never happen, but on all these video squeeze pages, we're, I think that's a big aha. That's a writer downer. That's something that probably is a universal implementation for everybody who's doing lead generation online or driving anybody online. Just having a human being talking to you, basically just reading your sales letter, right? Just reading your headline, just saying, the one that we have, we're testing three of them right now in my hot karate. The one that's pulling the best is me, which is weird, but it's me. And it's attention parents, you know, do you want to discover the secret to building self-confidence, focus, and self-esteem in your son or daughter? You know, it's that one, right? So,
is there a place we can go to see these?
Yeah, freekarate.com. Freekarate.com. And depending on how it cookies you, it may rotate or it may not rotate, right, depending on which one you see. And when we're testing them, sometimes we take one up and put one down. But Google does it all for you, by the way. But so anybody using Google, by the way, they have a rotator script, a testing rotator script now. So you load your two pages in Google, or you load your rotator in Google, and it'll automatically show every other visitor every other page and track the results for you. We used to have to do it manually, but now Google does it for you. Google Analytics does it for you. Those are a divergence. But the idea behind all that is that we're segmenting the market. We're segmenting the list as it comes in, so we know what messages to deliver them once they're in the pipeline, right? So here's the story behind this. And unfortunately, me telling you this now is going to bore you on Saturday, but you know, so be it. I had a student one time that came in and let me back up a half a step again. There's six reasons people won't buy, right? And we'll go over this over the weekend. But reason number three is that they don't fully perceive that you understand their circumstances, right? They don't believe that you understand them in total. And we talked about this on the call a few months ago, but I think it's worth reiterating. I had a parent one time that came in, this was a bunch of years ago, you know, and did the intro with the kid. The kid was great. Immediately after the intro, the mom sent the kid out of the room and said, "Now listen. You know, Johnny has pediatric bipolar disorder, right? And here's what it means." And I'm like, "Oh, no, I understand. I know pediatric bipolar is." And she's like, "Okay, well, here's how it manifests itself. This is what he does. This is, what, you know, when he's manic, he does these things. When he's depressed, he does these things." And I did my best to communicate to her how we're going to handle all that stuff in class anyway, right? Because that's what she was concerned about. What she was concerned about was, you know, him embarrassing her, right, sitting in the lobby, or him distracting class or whatever, right, and how we were going to handle it when those things happen, because he's been in soccer and dance and baseball and every damn other thing, and at some point he acts out or he, regresses or whatever, right? And I said, "Look, you know, of course I did the sales job, right, and which was all accurate. We're going to handle all of these circumstances in a positive manner. We're going to reinforce the positive and ignore the negative and, you know, whatever, right?" And then they left, and they actually ended up enrolling, but where this all came from was when they left, you know, I started thinking in my mind, now, what's she thinking at home right now? You know, what's this mom, like, what's her internal dialogue tonight at home, right? And what that internal dialogue is, my belief is, she's thinking to herself, "Well, you know, I like them. I like everybody. I like the school and stuff. But do they really understand? You know what I mean? Do they really understand what's going to happen when he goes wacky in the class? And, you know, do they really understand?" So I think really what she was asking is that number three: do they fully understand me and my circumstances and my situation? And is this a good fit for that? Right. So what we talked about on the call was, so what I invented was this little thinking of you system, and pediatric bipolar was the first thing I did with that because it came up, right? And what it was I better turn mine off too. And what it was I, you know, we train the instructors all the time on how to deal with like ADHD and how to deal with behavior disorders and things like that in the classroom. You know, we teach them how to like handle it and how to diffuse it and how to de-escalate and how to do all that stuff, right? But mom doesn't know that. You know what I mean? So like all the work that we do to train great instructors is like invisible to the parent unless we show them. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like having a really great product but not learning how to market it and hoping the world will be to pass through your door. Same deal, isn't it? I mean, it's the same thing. Mom doesn't know. Even though she's been there for a lesson, my belief was, still sitting at home on the kitchen table, she's thinking to herself, "Oh, damn, what's going to happen when he flips out and, you know, kicks and screams or whatever," right? I mean, that's what she's thinking. So this whole system was basically kind of designed around that, and then it got a lot more sophisticated with all this stuff, right? So basically what this is just a little cover letter and then a little sales letter. And the cover letter basically is like a welcome. How the orchestration of this works is, the student comes in for their first intro lesson, you know, they're filling out your application or whatever it is you have them go through, and they're identifying themselves just like they do on the web page, right? They're identifying what their hot buttons are. So these are all cued to what their hot buttons are, right? Mm-hmm. And there's just a little cover letter that mail merges in what their hot buttons are, right? And the student's name and all that sort of stuff. You can do it Microsoft Word really easy, right? So basically, they come in and do the intro. They leave. At the end of that day, the program director or whoever it is just puts together these little packages for all the intros they had that day, and they mail them out, right? And basically, the cover letter is, you know, I was going over the end of my day task, and I thought I'd take a few minutes to touch base with you. I'm excited to start working with Johnny in class, this little mail merge thing, right? Let me just read it. As a martial arts instructor, I like to begin with the end in mind, like Stephen R. Covey, the author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And I have 17, I have a typo in there. I like to visualize what a student will look like when they accomplish their black belt and all the things that they have learned along the way. It's very motivating for me personally. I'm always stunned by what our students accomplish on their black belt journey. At what our students accomplish on their black belt journey, the goal-setting skills, confidence improvement, ability to block out distractions, and amazing advances in self-esteem. I'm sure you and Johnny, you know, Moses' name, are excited to get started in the program, and I was thinking about how you must be feeling right now. If I were you, I might be a bit curious and perhaps a little skeptical about exactly how our school can help Johnny, merges it in, reach your goals for improving his, you know, plug-in self-esteem, confidence, whatever, right? However you want to phrase it, the way no other sport activity or program can. Well, it's a great question. The simple answer is, you know, is this is what we do, helping children and families with this challenge, right? Self-esteem challenges, self-confidence challenges, focus challenges, whatever it is what we're here for. We train our staff to do this. We train our staff to focus on these skills like no other sport or activity, you know, that whole thing, right? And then it kind of merges in their second intro time here as well. And then we accompany it with this little sales letter that's, and this is pediatric bipolar, for example, how we'll help your child succeed in our program and in life with pediatric bipolar disorder. And then it's basically another little sales letter. This is probably worth a minute. Self-esteem is a major key to success in life and a major focus in our program. The development of positive self-confidence and healthy self-esteem is extremely important to the happiness and success of all children and teenagers. Over the years, we've helped hundreds of families just like you. Some who've had substantial challenges build their child's self-esteem, sense of accomplishment, even with behavioral, emotional, or psychological challenges. And that goes in and out depending on exactly what their benefit was, right? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, there's a little sales letter there, and there's a little area there to put a testimonial that sort of relates to that. You know what I mean? So you try to look through your testimonial list and find something that directly relates to, you know, that, and you kind of put it in there. And basically the gist of this letter is, fear not, Mrs. Jones. We got this under control. One of the ways that we have this under control is that here is a segment of what our instructors are trained to do in this circumstance. So accompanied with that is anywhere between a 3 and a 16-page report, for lack of a better frame. Some of them from the Centers for Disease Control, some from, you know, psychology, some resources I have that I have access to, royalty-free information and stuff like that. So all this stuff is basically, it's not in the public domain, but, you know, who the hell's going to know, right? So this is basically a 5-page report on pediatric bipolar disorder. There's 4 different categories of pediatric bipolar disorder, and there's very different strategies for dealing with each one, right? And this outlines exactly how we're going to do it in class, and how we deal with category A, how we deal with category B, how we deal with category C, right? And actually, this is more like a 10-page. Look at this. Jeez. There's something called therapeutic parenting, which is a kind of a new trend in that sort of a deal. So this is what they get in the mail, right? Now, I have absolutely no expectation that they're going to read virtually any of it, right? But what I think is going to happen is they're having that internal dialogue. They're saying to themselves, do they truly understand me, Johnny? You know, do they truly understand the circumstances? And my personal belief is, this has been very successful in the schools already, but my personal belief is this goes a long way in answering that question, right? It says, dear Mrs. Jones, not only do we understand, but here's, to some degree, what our instructors are trained to understand, and to some degree, how we're going to handle this in class, you know? And to some degree, you should feel confident in the fact that we're going to handle this in class, right? what I've got is pediatric bipolar, dealing with anger disorders. I'm sorry, anger issues, not anger disorders. Dealing with bullying. Cerebral palsy. Self-esteem. Self-esteem, you know, issues or not, or just self-esteem, right? Deal with personal responsibility. You know, like, you know, taking responsibility for things. That's a big one. That's a big one. Holy cow. Living a fit, healthy lifestyle. So, childhood obesity, overweight, you know, that sort of stuff. The second one is specifically about childhood obesity. A lot of, like, statistics, which, by the way, are freaking disturbing. Have you guys been, like, paying much attention to that? Well, I mean, we all kind of do, right?
But it's
out of control. I mean, it's out of control. It's okay. From 11% to 31.1%, just in the last 5 years. Oh my God! Right? I mean, this is an epidemic.
Video games have anything to do with
this? Well, yeah, in the size of a Coke at McDonald's, you know. And well, I mean, you know. But yeah, no, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. dealing with self control. Be thinking about things I'm missing here, by the way, guys. ADHD.
Autism. That's why we have a tremendous amount of autistic kids.
Yeah. I don't see that one in here, but I know I've got it. I don't see that, but I know I've got autism, and I've also got pediatric diabetes. No. Yes, pediatric diabetes. Okay. So, useful? What's your read on this? I know it works because we always have parents that come back in, you know, when you do the second intro and they say, oh my God, thank you so much for sending me that. And I read the thing and I learned a couple things that I'm going to do at home, and you know, you get all that sort of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
The cover letter we do now.
Yeah, sort of thing.
But the added benefit is even better.
Tony, when do you, you're mailing it that night or goes out the next morning, presumably?
Yeah.
What's your normal gap between your second intro and your first? Are they all getting it on time?
Yeah, that's always the challenge. And for us, local mail is one day. You know what I mean? So we can get there like the day after the next day, I guess, right? And usually there is a couple day gap. You know what I mean? Ideally, we would schedule it, you know, if they do it first intro on Monday, we would schedule the second one on Wednesday or Thursday, right? So yeah, probably about 50-50, you know? But sure. I don't know how to solve that. We do email it to them too, but.
That's on my next question. Yeah. Do you both identify?
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's the exact same package via email and scanner.
Yeah, we send it by attachment on the email, and then the cover letter is the body text of the email. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so we do both, but I mean, you know, the flakiness of email now, I mean, you guys know, right? I mean, well, I'll tell you the NATMA universe, right? In the NATMA universe, in our permission-based opt-in list, and we've been bad with it, you know, so we've screwed some things up on that. But well, I've got 22,000 in there, and I've got 22,700 on that list. 14,000 will actually queue, right? So about half, right? And of 14,000, I'll get about 2,000 of them actually open it. You know? And then of the 2,000 that open it, depending on the headlines and stuff like that and calls to action, I can get the best I've ever gotten is about 700 to click. You know what I mean? Which is pretty good. I mean, getting 700 clicks is a lot of clicks, right? But and that's what the best headline I've ever come up with so far, and with, like, you know, the best offers and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So the flakiness of email deliverability in today's market, you know, we're gonna do it. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna not do it, right? But yeah, we email it to them. This is the body copy, and we attach the report.
Well, if you preface it, I've got some more information on the email to you. Look out for it.
Absolutely.
You may get 50% or
80%. Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely. Any other reads on this? Yeah.
Here's a product that might be good for my karate or mammal. Dentists and doctor's office are now hiring this company. I'll give you the name of the company. That produced what looks like a professional magazine, which highlights.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen those?
Like the owner?
Yeah, highlights the owner.
Yeah. It's like a fake cover story?
Yeah. But it has all sorts of medical content.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could produce something like that with this content.
Yeah, it's clever. One of the done for you things I'm working on is that. We can't use martial arts professional, but it's something like that. right? So, like, well, like, obviously, every quarter we have a Maha Karate guy on the cover, right? And one of the purposes is that's like a PR piece, right? And then we can do a reprint of the thing, right? Obviously, that's one of the goals. It's like, just like Century has ATA guy on the quarter, once every quarter. But the other part of that is what you're saying is right. We're actually working on a done-for-you solution that's like on print-on-demand, where you can just upload your photo and it puts you on the cover of a magazine. You make your own headlines and stuff like that. It's in the pipeline a ways, but
yeah. No. What I'm thinking about is as a marketing piece that includes this medical content. And
Yeah. So like different sales letters based on different needs. That's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah, that's a really good idea. I like it.
So it reads like a medical journal in which you're
you're the expert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good idea. Your whole staff is. That's a really good idea. Yeah, I like it. Any other reads on this?
Do you have some for adults or just children?
That's a good question. The obesity one is universal. The bipolar one is pediatric. Self-esteem, self-confidence, all that would be universal, but it's mostly focused to... Yeah, no, I don't. That's a good idea.
General fitness.
That's a really good idea. That's a good idea.
Structural question. What software do you use to do the nail mergers?
Infusion. Yeah, but I mean, just do any, like, what are you using?
I have A-Liver for my email distribution, but for nail mergers, I've been doing them where it's just words on the page. You could do sort of conditional mergers like that.
Well, I mean, you can just do it from an Excel spreadsheet, you know, just to make that the data source. Just search and replace. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the easy, the low-labor way is search and replace. But, I mean, all the other stuff, like Champions Way's deal and ASF's deal, they all have a mail merge functionality built into them. You got to hack it a little bit. You got to, like, work it a little bit. You got to find their code, you know, and use it. But, like on those child ID cards, you know, those child identification things, I was pulling the picture out of Champions Way. So you just go in and you go find, like, one of the ID cards that they have made up for you and just look at the code in the background. And it's like a little squiggle and the name dot, first name dot last name or whatever. And then you just use that in Word and it will go pull it from that file location. But the low labor thing is just search and replace. You know what I mean? You've got, you know, you put it in brackets, it says intro to date and time, and you just search and replace it. Thinking of you, this is good. Yeah, adult.
I just saw something on the news in Baltimore that drug sales are down.
Uh-huh.
So they're turning to crime instead.
Okay.
No. And they interviewed a guy that just got arrested. He goes, "You will get robbed." And I'm like, that's awesome.
Okay.
No. Baltimore's great. You know, anytime you have a show about your town.
Yeah. Well,
I'm outside of Baltimore, but it's still a
I mean, the MMA thing is all one whole separate thing. You know the guy died, right? That mask guy?
Mm-hmm.
You guys see that?
Yeah.
Driving tore his Ferrari in half.
209 miles an hour drag racing down a road in L.A.
What was it?
Mask?
You know the guy from Tap Out? Yeah.
I don't follow it.
Me either. But on iGoogle, I have all the Google News alerts for anything that happens in the martial arts industry. And right now, if you go there right now, I mean, what you'll see is it'd be an interesting experiment. But what you'll see is the guy who was just convicted of murder for hire.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
MMA guy?
No, martial arts school owner.
School owner. Nice. Marvelous. It's good for business.
It's great, right? I mean, it's always stuff like that, man. We're just getting destroyed.
Well, we ran into that.
It's such an isolated thing.
I made that call to you because we ran into that in our own town with the guy up the road that was molesting girls in his jiu-jitsu program.
It's always.
It's part of getting your green belt.
I couldn't believe it. Self-defense fitness, what was the other item?
Self-defense.
Fitness, stress relief, that's what you said.
Fitness and stress relief.
Eric's got a bunch of that stuff. Okay, so any other reads on this? Thoughts, questions, comments, opinions? You want the files?
Please.
Yes.
I'll send them all to you today. I've got it all on disk here if you've got a flash drive or something, I'll give it to you like that. But between you and me and anybody in this room, all the stuff is public domain, except for the stuff I wrote, but you can have it, right? So feel free to author it, change it, use it, do whatever you want with it, right? So I've done a bunch of work for you.
We can send it back to you.
Yeah, if you want, yeah, send it back to me too. Seriously, yeah. But keep in mind. Let me rephrase. Remind me at the break. Remind me at lunch because it's like
I'm gonna have to go out and buy a flash like 100 things here. I forgot to bring mine with me.
What was I just saying? Oh, I'll start public. Keep in mind, public domain means. And okay, well, let me put this in two different frames. Public domain means everybody in the country owns it. Not that you can use it, but it means you own it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can sell it. You can write whatever you want to do. Now, having said that, I put all this stuff together. I wrote the sales letter and stuff like that, and we're going to create a product out of this like it's already done. You know what I'm saying? So I'm giving it to you guys. I'm going to sell it to everybody else. So does that make sense? So, like, you can do whatever you want with it except, like, go try to sell it to the market. I'm going to go sell it to you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So, anyway, you get the idea, right? Okay, good. If there's no other thoughts on that, we can move on. Number next on my list was, talked about the video pages. It's probably nobody's going to like to hear it, but we kind of already talked about how we're kind of dealing with all of those web opt-ins and stuff like that. We're using video squeeze pages to mine for phone numbers. We're putting telemarketers on. So our big, I don't want to say a big aha, but just in reality, we're moving almost all the money out of mass media into people, into telemarketers, into staff, right, to go call leads. And at NAMA and at Alacrity both, actually. Websites are converting, with the video squeeze page, websites are converting from visitor to lead very well. But almost universally, the websites aren't converting to appointment very well. You know, they're down a lot compared to last year, right? And we haven't integrated video on those pages yet. That's the next project. We're actually working on that. We're filming videos now for that. So what I'm saying is in the orchestration of that, the landing page is the video squeeze page. They select their benefit and they select who they're targeting. Is it for them? Is it for their son or daughter? Is it for the family, right? Then it lands them on a page that's specific to them, right? Then right now we have the sales pages. Right now they don't have video integrated yet. That will happen like this month, right? So then we'll see what happens to the conversion rate on those things. But the text-only sales page isn't converting as well as it used to, right? So that's that. I have high hopes for the video being on there. The second thing on that is useful, but it's a hell of a lot of work, is what we're doing is we're taking this message, this market to message thing here, and what we've got right now is the landing page. And there's two drop-down menus, and basically the first drop-down menu identifies them to us as who they're talking about, family, kid, adult, right? So you've got, you know, the family, the children, and the adult. And obviously each one of these, depending on what they select and when they hit the submit button, lands them on a separate page, right? So if they choose it's for a child, they go to the child page. If they choose it's for an adult, they go to the adult page. If they choose it's for a family, they go to the family page, right? And right now it's all one sales letter. Right now it's all, they're individual from each other, they're separate from each other, but it's just one text on sales letter. We're going to integrate video next. And that's a no-brainer. We've got to do that. And everybody can do that on the cheap, by the way. You know that, right? You can just use the YouTube thing. You can upload it to YouTube, take the code and put it in there, and it's like free, right? There's a couple other tweaks on that I can give you, and James, it'll be good for your page too, your thing.
Okay.
I looked at your site the other day. But there's another one that you can actually put clickable things on YouTube videos. So they can click and go to the videos. Now here's iteration number three. The video thing will be done this month for us, and we have relatively high hopes that that'll start bringing the conversion rate of the page itself up, right? Right now I'm not too concerned about it because the opt-in ratio from the landing page is good enough, and we're getting phone numbers at a high enough rate and putting the salespeople on it that it hasn't affected the enrollment numbers yet, but the conversion numbers yet. Is that making sense?
Is your landing video targeted just generically? Or
yeah.
So if you're an adult or a parent or whatever, it's just kind of talking to you and then telling you to pick which one you want to learn more about?
Yeah. And right now we're kind of testing that. You know what I mean? We're kind of rotating that around. I think we've got three of them. We've got Master Oliver, we've got Master Smith, I think, and we've got Master Oliver, and me. And my phone You know what I mean? So, but the answer is yes. I mean, ultimately, the video that will end up on this page permanently, I mean, I don't know what permanent means, but will be generic enough that it tells them to tell us who you're looking for.
They're getting to your landing page from Google AdWords or an ad or something else, correct?
Mostly organic search results right now, but or all the direct mail or email through.
And those, just because of what you do, primarily are based towards kids and families.
Yeah. Very few do at all. This page, I don't think it gets, I don't know, a click a day or something, you know? But here's iteration number three, which I'm working on the infrastructure for now, and the videos is actually what the whole of it is. But iteration number three is same structure, video landing page, family, children, adult. In addition, we have the other sets of criteria, which are, you know, self-esteem, self-confidence, focus, self-defense, fitness, right? And what will happen is, based on the matrix of which of these they chose and which of these they chose, it will land them on a completely separate page based on benefit orientation, right? So we'll have a separate sales letter for self-confidence, a separate sales letter in video for self-esteem, a separate, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting much, much tighter now message to market match. So now instead of, like right now, if you look at free credit coming out and you go to the second page, you basically have the sales letter that kind of addresses everything. You know what I'm saying? Which is good, but I think this is much better. You know what I mean? Now it's the guy said he's interested in self-defense. Well, why do we go land him? You know, why do we go land him on a page that talks about focus? Let's talk about self-defense. That's what he wants to hear about, right? Now we're certainly going to integrate those other messages. Don't get me wrong, right? I mean, you know, we're going to do that. But you know, that's a lot of work, right? And I'm almost done with all this stuff. The videos are really the whole of them right now.
There's a product that
you get the idea.
I went to and had an interview process like this. It was almost like, you know, the annoying office assistant. There's an animated character that interviewed you and got the same collect information. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. There's a couple of cool, I don't know, they're a little irritating still because of the voice, but there's a couple of cool virtual sales agent things like that that, I don't know, I haven't experimented with yet, but I will. You're right, there's some pretty cool applications on there now that use like this fuzzy logic, man. They're really kind of complicated. Okay, so you get the idea, right? So, and it's a hell of a lot of work, but you know, I mean, the video is cheap. You know, you can have a little flip video thing and do it, you know, here in 10 minutes, you know, and upload it to YouTube and stick on the thing. So, I mean, it's not overly burdensome with cost. It's labor, you know. But anyway, so this is the direction we're going on all that stuff. Now, which on the NAPMA side is exactly the same thing, right? On the NAPMA side, what we've got is you know, we've got single school, we've got part-time school owner, we've got full-time school owner, we've got multi-school owner. And then we've got what are your objectives, you know, because that tells us a lot about how that person's thinking. If their objective is just to, you know, add 10% to their growth, so that tells us how we should be talking to them. If their objectives are you know, somewhere in multi-school, then that tells us how we should be talking to them. But so you get the idea, right? Useful?
Questions? If we're currently on the top one there, we don't have the landing page, we have the three separate websites. And so you're forgetting your search engine optimization on that.
Yeah.
When it now creates a landing page, how does it impact that, or what do you have to be thinking about?
It's really a question. And the real answer is I'm not exactly sure yet, but I know none of these are hidden from Google. You know what I'm saying? They're still going to come on organic results. You know what I mean? So I haven't locked them out of redirecting them here yet, but I believe on redirecting, I think that there's a way that you can set up a page with a certain redirect code that will take them back to your landing page, but here's what Google crawl. You know what I mean? So I think that there's an argument. Remind me, and we'll talk to Elsa this weekend because that's something I'm worried about too. Because this is relatively new, and if I go take all the copy away from that main sales letter, that's going to affect the search engine optimization of that main sales letter. Right? So I have the same concern you have. But my belief is that there's a way that you can redirect them. Like, let's say, do you understand what he's talking about? Kind of, sort of? What he's saying is, let's say, for example, this is the self-esteem letter. And somebody types in self-esteem or something in Google. Well, there's a lot of keywords in the self-esteem letter that will help me come up in organic results. But if they click on it and they go straight here, now they've skipped all my stuff, so I don't get their data. Right? They go straight to the page. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's like a negative thing. What my belief is, and then I don't have the technical code to give you, but I believe I can give it to you, you know, some days, is you don't put any of the stuff behind a password like you normally would to hide it from Google. You don't exclude Google from it. It'll still index the page. It'll still you know, register all your keywords and stuff like that. But when a visitor goes there, there's a redirect code that redirects them back over to your landing page on a browser side include, it's called. There's two things. There's browser side includes and server side includes. Server side includes means that all the information is going to the server that Google crawls. A browser side include is a command that exists in the web page that does something to your browser. But since it's happening in your browser, Google doesn't go crawl. Does that make any sense? It's like Greek, man. But you get the idea. But there's a server side include comment that you can put on the page that Google knows when it indexes it, when anybody visits that URL, it goes back over to the landing page. And actually, it goes under your server. So if they access it even by typing it in, they'll still go to the landing page.
So not to harp on this now, but how are you getting people to find your landing page right now? You said it's working.
Mostly organic.
But what is on the landing page that's wrong?
Probably it's still residual stuff from the sales page. Residual optimization from the long form letters.
So they're still somehow connected, I guess, to Google.
Yeah.
Could you just build a pop-in so that they don't come directly from the landing page, that they get a pop-up that call ask for their information so you don't lose it?
Yeah, keep in mind, you want to use Hover.
Right.
Pop-ups, pop-up blockers.
On the sales page. So they go directly there and skip the squeeze page, it's no big deal.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
what
yeah,
would
yeah,
happen if we just kept our sales page, put the video on it?
It's like Hover.
Have a Hover. Yeah,
it's slow.
Yeah, I don't think you're missing anything. I mean, if they go directly. You know what I mean? See, that's a good idea.
Thinking of
like in my case, I have an adult sales page, boot camp sales page, kids sales page.
Exactly.
So all my advertising, all my Google, everything's going to one of those four. So we're already delineating what they're looking for. I put a video in each, again, bypass the landing page.
Yeah. I mean, The balancing act that you're gonna always play in this is, you know, mining the data. Yeah. That's the deal. And our big thing right now, of course, keep in mind our frame is a little different because we're looking at geographical, you know, issues. And we want to mine all the data, you know, we want to get data. You know what I mean? That's our big concern right now, especially with the conversion rate the way it is. You know, and it's down a good bit. It's down a good bit. I mean, I don't know what the numbers exactly, but the big aha on that deal was, now that we're getting phone numbers, it fixed the back-end problem, you know? So now we're going to re-engineer and stuff to fix that.
Do you find your telemarketing services on a good job?
They're actually our people. It's not like a sales thing. It's like our people.
Okay.
Owners or whatever.
I thought you were going
to have. No, we haven't gotten that far yet. That's in the universe of possibility. You know,
and you're not talking about dozens and dozens of them. I'm talking a few of those.
I'm going to kill my staff.
Exactly.
I'm going to kill my staff.
And if we did,
I'm
filling
the phones. I'm getting business calls for intro lessons.
But, you know, I just have each other.
Is that what you just did?
Good. Is that useful?
Yes.
Makes sense?
Okay. Sorry about that, Toby.
No, sure. So, well, we'll talk about the fine later.
Toby, my web guy really steered me away from doing any video content.
Always.
Why?
Because of the web. Like, anybody has dial-up, video is useless.
Yeah.
And I have satellite, video is useless. And then even some high-speed stuff.
I don't know what the statistics are, but I know what the conversion rate's down. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not experiencing that.
And I know from my.
But again, YouTube streams smoothly, even over dial-up. You know, YouTube is like that thing knocks the quality. Basically, I don't know the totality of the circumstance you're talking about, but what I do know is two things: is that I can stream YouTube over Edge network on a phone now, which is I don't know what 14 4K or something like that. I mean, it's pretty slow over the Edge network. And you definitely don't want to have like some big 9 gigabyte streaming file going on. No, I totally agree with that. But if you load it up to YouTube, it knocks it down in the Flash format, like way down, and it's pretty tight. Okay. I mean, it's pretty good. But I mean, just run an A/B split test. Just have him load one with and one without on that Google thing, and just have every other visitor and see which one converts better. I'm just telling you, literally, I'm telling you what those numbers are.
So basically, when my web guys say that, I don't care because I've
had that return. Yeah, exactly.
Well, my web guys want me to say, teeth and nail
test this one, test this one, and tell me which
opt-in boxes. They just don't believe in that stuff, some of them.
If you have a written sales letter and you have a video, unless the person clicks on the video, it doesn't take a dial-up person any longer to get the token site, correct?
Well, ours load on load. Ours start playing on load. So when you load the page, it plays.
But we force them to play.
But
you have the option where you don't. And in that case, it doesn't matter if somebody's dialed, right?
That's right, yeah. And you get to pick your cutscene, too. So you can put, like, a slide with, like, your offer on the thing or whatever you want to. You know what I mean? But, yeah, we have it load the video automatically. But
also, that's part of the graph. People who have dialogue, you probably get enough people who have
dialogue. That could be right. All I know is we just haven't had that experience. In practical terms, we just haven't had that experience. It's been so worth it. It's been so worth whatever loss we've lost in it to have and really, keep in mind, you know, the reason we have video on the thing now isn't just because I thought it'd be cool to have video on there. It's because when we asked them for phone numbers without it, we didn't get many. And when we're asking for phone numbers when we have it, we get a lot. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know exactly what the ratio is, but I'm telling you that's what happened. You know what I mean? And I mean, without that, you know, the conversion rate of the webpage would be way off.
Okay. I just want to have...
The answer for him, though, is test it. Right. Just build two pages and just have him... Just tell him Google Analytics will do an A/B split test for you. And you can do a conversion funnel. Which shows you, have you guys seen that? You guys have seen that conversion funnel in Google Analytics? Okay, your web guy can do this for you. But what it is you basically set up your milestones. If I can get connected to that thing, I can show you one of ours. But basically, you install Google Analytics on all your pages. And all it is one line of code. You just stick it in there. It's really easy. Your web guy shouldn't charge you anything. Right? But you set up milestones. So you've got, like, let's say your landing page is here, and then that landing page takes them to a sales page, and then that takes them to a success page if they register, right? So you just set up, there's a little thing there. It's a funnel visualization is what it's called, and it shows you your marketing funnel, right? And it looks just like a funnel, and it says, okay, you know, today 108 people, let's say 108 people visited the site, 51 exited, which means whatever the number is, 57 went to the next step. And then this one will have a funnel visualization as well. 57 landed on the page, you know, 10 exited. 47 went to the success page. You know, so you had 47 of them that basically converted. You know, it's really simple to set that up too. It's pretty easy. But it's clever, and you can set up the email that reports you every day for every page, for every website, whatever you want to see. So you can just see the little PDFs and all that. Cool. But that's the kind of stuff, I mean, your web guy, you know, that's so easy for them to do. And they can give you the report once a week, once a month, and you never need to see it ever again. Just check the conversion rates. Okay, good. So those were the two big ahas that I wanted to share with everybody, you know, today early on. And any thoughts on this or this? Tweaks, usefulness? If you had to rate this on a scale of 1 to 10 in usefulness, what do you think? I mean, usefulness, like... Well, I know it is. Yeah, I know it is.
It makes perfect sense.
I guess you're right, Eric. The question I should have asked is, you know, perception of usefulness. Because that is different. Because that is different. Because a lot of guys will say, well, you know, it's cool, but that means I got to go fold the letters and put them in the envelope and, like, lick the seal and put a stamp on it.
Contract,
huh? Well, you see, people don't think that way. But that is right. I mean, that is right. What you're saying is right. It's okay, good. So that's a done deal. If you want these files, I give them to you at the break. And I'll look at expanding that into the adult market a little bit more. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. I don't know why I didn't think of that. And that stuff. Does that all make sense? Good. Why don't we take 15 minutes and come back to quarter two? Sound good?